Comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert shall be like the garden of the Lord. It says, joy and gladness shall be found therein. It says, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. The covenant I had with Abraham extends to you, is what he's saying. What is that covenant? He said, I have blessed him. Not only did I bless him, I increased him. So the blessing is from glory to glory. I blessed him and I increased him. It says in Galatians 3, 13 to 14, it said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on those who are not entitled to it. That the blessings of Abraham, what type of blessing is it? The blessings of from glory to glory. The type of blessing that cannot be stopped. The kind of blessing that keeps increasing. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles because Christ died. Everyone that receives Christ is entitled to the blessing of Abraham. Everyone that accepts Christ is entitled to the unlimited blessing of Abraham, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So by faith, we receive the blessing of Abraham. The blessing sworn on him flows to us by redemption. The blessing sworn on Abraham flows to us by redemption. Genesis 22, 16 to 17. Take a look at an idea. Have an idea of what kind of blessing Abraham was walking in. He said, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, he said, increase you. You know, he said in the first place, when we said, the one we read, he said, not only will I bless you, he said, I will increase you. So he said, and now I will multiply you. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sun which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Please understand this very quickly this night. Go back to Genesis 20, 22 and verse 16. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Now, why am I swearing? Because thou hast done this thing. There was one thing that Abraham did that resulted in generational blessing. We are going to get there in a minute. But it is very crucial for us to understand that and to underline it in our Bibles, if we have one. By myself have I sworn, seeth the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. What thing? We'll get there in a minute. And thou hast not will tell thy son, thine only son. Let's change that to thy seed. Thou hast not withheld thy seed, thy only seed. Thou hast not withheld thy seed. Because you didn't withhold your seed, what will I do? That in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed that is sown. I will multiply the seed that is sown, thine only son. So it is not by withholding of seed, it is by sowing of seed. Seed withheld will never add up. But seed sown will multiply. Seed withheld will actually diminish. But seed sown will always multiply. Now, let's take a look at the end of Abraham. And God said, this is the kind of blessing I'm talking about when it comes to Abraham. Genesis 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in some things. In what? And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. The type of blessings that lasts and comes with a good old age. Abraham was stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That is the heritage we have in redemption. That is the heritage we have in redemption. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. In other words, Jesus became poor for us to be rich. So if we remain poor, it is double jeopardy. Jesus became poor for us to be rich. So therefore, if we are poor, it is double jeopardy. How many understand what double jeopardy means? I mean, if you understand what it means, lift up your hand. You don't understand it, let me explain it to you. Double jeopardy simply means that if you keep suffering what someone has paid for, I mean, let me rephrase that. If they accuse you of killing somebody and you didn't do it, and they send you to jail, and you come out of jail, you have already spent 25 years in jail, you come out of jail and you see the person that is accused you of killing walking on the street, you can kill the person and nothing will happen. Why? Because you already paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us. You already paid the price. So the you can wait in front of the judge to kill the person. Glory to God. The judge will not be able to say anything. Why? Because you already paid the price. Jesus paid the price. He says he became poor for us to be rich. So when we remain poor, it is double jeopardy. We are suffering what he already suffered. That's what it means. We are suffering what he already suffered. Now, the Bible speaking, he said, financial fortune is part of the sevenfold blessings Jesus received for us. Revelations chapter 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? First of all, power. And it takes power. It takes empowerment to get financial fortune. After empowerment, what is the next one? Riches. But you also need wisdom if you don't want to lose the riches. So the next one is what? Wisdom. Wisdom will garner you strength, because then you will know what to do with your health. You know what to do and what not to do. So strength is the next one. Now, if you are empowered, you have riches, you have wisdom, you have strength, honor will be the next thing. Glory to God. Don't take it away. Let's keep looking. Honor will be the next thing. And when you are honored, you are glorified. And then he said the last one is blessing. When you have all six, then you are a blessed man. Glory to the name of the Lord. He says the first thing is power. After power is riches. After power. But riches are not a function of mere talk. Have you seen somebody that dreamt and says, I'm rich tomorrow, and goes and sits down and becomes rich? The more he sits down, the more he becomes poor. The poorer he becomes. Riches, financial fortune, is not a function of mere talk. It is a function, the foundation of our deep knowledge of the covenant. Financial fortune is deep knowledge of the covenant. Financial fortune is our heritage, but we must play by the rules. Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? He releases the promises. We do the work that brings the promises. He releases the promises, but we need to do the work that brings the promises. Now, if you remember the scripture that we read earlier, He said in Genesis 22, 16 to 17, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing." What did he do? Engagement of the covenant. What is that covenant? Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18 is the covenant. The covenant of seed time and harvest. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is him that giveth thee power to get wealth." Power. So wealth is a function of empowerment, and that empowerment can only proceed from him. When we do what he says to do, you are not a candidate for financial fortune if you are finding it hard to give God back his 10%. You are not. Hey, God, you know you understand. So when it comes to financial fortune, he will also say, "Son, you should understand." Glory to God. You didn't do what I tell you to do, so understand why I didn't give you financial fortune. That proceeds from heaven. For this month, somebody will change level financially. Amen. I said you are changing level financially. Amen. Therefore, very quickly, because of time, what are the facts to know when it comes to the covenant of financial fortune? What are the facts to know when it comes to the covenant of financial fortune? Or let's say, why is this covenant important? Why? Number one, very quickly, the last days are the days of the move of multitudes into the church. The last days are the days of the move of multitudes into the church. Malachi chapter 4 verses 1 to 2, it says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills." It says, "And all nations shall flow into it." It says, "One nation shall say to another, come and let us go into the house of the Lord our God, for he will teach us his ways and we'll walk in his path. For out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Out of Zion. What does that mean? The flow of multitudes. In the last days, there will be a flow of multitudes into the church. And the flow of multitudes will require the flow of resources to sustain them. The last days are the days of the flow of multitudes. In the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and above the hills, and all nations everywhere shall flow into it. One nation shall say to another, come, let us go into the house of the Lord our God, for he will give us his ways and he will show us his path. Out of Zion shall proceed the law. And we are getting there. Whereby the church will be in command of everything in the nation. We are getting there. If you haven't noticed it, we are getting there. We are getting there. Glory to the name of the Lord. We are getting there. This commission has bought, I can't even count how many churches right now, even in North and South of America. I was in Maryland, and they were still talking about, the national pastor just came from LA, Los Angeles again, to buy another one. And there is a huge school in front of the church, and the school, before the church is paid for, are already saying, "Please, anytime you need parking, come and use our parking." The flow in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. One nation shall say to another, "Come ye and let us go into the house of the Lord our God, for he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The flow shall require heavy financial resources for delivery. That's why in the last days shall be the days of the church, which shall be the days whereby there shall never be, no one in the church shall lack nothing. Amen. Haggai chapter 2 verses 3 to 9. He said, "Who is left among you that saw this house in our first glory? And how do you see it now? He says, is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaining among you, fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts. Yet once, it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Saith the Lord of hosts, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine. Saith the Lord of hosts, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Saith the Lord of hosts, in this place will I give peace. Saith the Lord of hosts, I will release my resources into trusted hands. Not all hands. Trusted hands, who will use it for the kingdom and expected multitudes. I will release my resources in the church, and I will release it only into trusted hands, because financial fortune is an entrustment. He said, as they continually invest in the kingdom, with the seed I give them, then I will multiply the seed. I will keep multiplying the seed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 to 10, as it is written. What does that mean? It means according to the covenant, as it is written, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And then he said, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of righteousness. He that ministereth seed to the sower. So he gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. He gives it to everyone, but you decide which one is bread, which one is seed. You can decide to make everything bread. Have you ever seen a farmer that will eat everything that he harvested? He will not eat next year. He will beg next year. You have the decision. God will not force anyone. Even the church will never ask you, did you pay your tithe? Give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, and he will multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Inside what I give you is both food and seed. You decide what to do with it. You can make everything food, or you can decide to eat, to divide it to whatever you want to divide it. Make some food, make some seed. But remember, food is gone, seed is multiplied. Zechariah 1:17, he said, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city through prosperity shall be yet be spread abroad. And he said, and the Lord shall yet come forth Zion. So in Zion, the Lord has already a plan to multiply his people, to give them financial fortune. But he begins with the seed that he gives to us. And also take note, returns on every seed is dependent on the understanding of seed. Returns on every seed is dependent on the understanding of seed. If you don't understand it, you will misuse it. Our seed, now take note very quickly. I said, returns on every seed is dependent on the understanding of seed. For example, the seed of cocoa is not the same as the seed of corn. You plant corn, 3 months, you have harvested corn. 3 months, you have started benefiting from corn. You have started eating out of it. You have started selling it. Corn cannot be... How much do they sell corn? It can't be compared with cocoa. For cocoa, you wait for 4.5 years minimum before you start harvesting. But you will never need to plant again. For corn, after 3 months that you have harvested, you have to clear the ground again. You have to till the ground. You have to plant. You have to water and wait again. But for cocoa, you eat forever. Once you start sowing and then you start harvesting, you start harvesting forever. So if somebody's seed is corn and your seed is cocoa, don't envy the corn seed, because they are already eating and you are waiting. What is going on here? God, am I not sowing my seed? Is my seed not answering in heaven? God said, your seed is cocoa. Wait. Once it starts coming, it will never stop coming. So you know what happens? Some, because they don't understand how seed works, they have already seen some people. Somebody is telling them already, oh, I gave so-so-so seed to so-so-so person. Today, I just received so-so-so amount. They get discouraged. I'm not paying tithe again. It's not working. When it's about to break through, he says, I'm not paying again. It's not working. Now, let me give you 3 things very quickly to take note about seed. When it comes to seed, take note of these 3 things about seed very quickly. Number one, our seed is a spiritual transaction that answers in heaven. Our seed is a spiritual transaction that answers in heaven. Our seed is not a financial donation to help the church. Your seed is not a financial donation to help the poor. If you don't do it, somebody else will do it. If you don't, see, we need some understanding this month in order for us to be candidates of financial fortune. If you think you are giving to the poor and then you are feeling cool that you are giving to the poor and you think if you don't do it, they will die. No. You don't do it. Somebody else will do it. As a matter of fact, the reason God gave you the opportunity to do it is to bless you. It's for your increase. Our seed is not a financial donation to help any ministry. You say, because you give to that ministry, say, we are the ones sponsoring the ministry. How? Every month I give them so amount. So you are the sponsor. When God is the owner. Have you ever seen any man sponsoring God? Our seed is a spiritual transaction that when it answers in heaven, changes our financial story. Genesis 8, 20-22. It says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now, neither will I again smite anymore every living thing, as I have done. Now, this is the one that we are used to. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. But I saw something a couple of months ago that changed my mentality. This same scripture. Look at this one. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter shall not cease. But let's see how it got there. Genesis chapter 7. From verse 1. Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said, now look at what God said. God himself said. Noah was putting all the animals in the ark. Look at the instruction God gave him. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls of by the ear of sevens, by male and his female. To what? To keep seed alive. What? He didn't say to keep the animals alive. To keep seed alive. Because a time will come that you will need to sacrifice. You will need to pick from this seed. To keep seed alive. The day I saw that, I said, what? So, God keeping these animals alive is not because of the animals, it's because of seed. Glory to God. He didn't say, keep animals alive. As long as you do not run out of seed, you can't run out of harvest. You can't run out of harvest. So, it answered. So, now what happened? So, when he offered seed, it answered in heaven. After a while, the Bible says he came out of the ark and then he offered a sacrifice. He took the seed and offered sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Lord swore again, never will I crush the earth again. Why? Because seed is speaking. Your seed, you are not helping nobody with your seed. You are helping yourself. Abraham turned his son to seed. It answered in heaven. And turned him to a generational blessing. Genesis 22, 15 to 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. And called unto him out of heaven when he was about to slay the son. And the angel called unto him, stop! And then he said, by myself have I sworn. Offered, trying to offer him on earth, it answered in heaven. From today, every of your seed will answer in heaven. Our seed is not to a church, is not to the poor, not to a ministry. It is unto the Lord. For example, you give to the poor, what happens? It answers in heaven. Proverbs 19:17. He said, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. You are not lending to the poor. You are lending unto the Lord because it's the one that will pay you back. And he will pay you back again. Solomon gave on earth. It answered in heaven. He gave on earth and God came down and said, what do you want, Solo? What do you want? Tell me what you want. He sacrificed on earth. It answered in heaven. Stop looking at the seed. Start looking up to where it answers. There are some people that can't give God some things. Even when give somebody a $100,000 check now. 10,000 is too much for tight. 10K? I know what I can do with 10,000 now. God will understand. I will give him 1,000. That should be enough for him. May the Lord give us understanding. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. I know this month your voice will be slow, but it's okay. Glory to God. Number two, very quickly. What to note about seed? Our seed must be sown willingly. Willingly. No farmer sows seed grudgingly. They sow it from their heart and watch it produce for them. Whatever is not from the heart is from the five senses. Your thinking, your nose, your smell, is from the five senses and it is not acceptable. No matter how huge your seed is, let it be sown willingly. So many years ago, I was attending a church in Felele Ibadan, Nigeria. And then there was one man that was fired from his job from First Bank in Nigeria in those days. And the first thing he did when they gave him the money was to bring his tithes to church. And he brought it in cash. I'd never seen any that kind of money in my life. How much? 190-something thousand naira in those days. And he just came and said, this is the tithe for what he was paid off. Inside me, I'm like, Jesus. Because I was rolling in poverty. I was swimming in poverty. So I saw 190. I said, and this man brought it. I was looking at the man. I said, 100,000, 200,000. I'm talking about now 200 million. 100 to almost 200,000 naira, and he brought it as tight. My level of respect for that man changed. Glory to God. And I also thought, so that means there is nothing too much for your God. If you want to change levels, then if you can't pay small tight, you are not a candidate. 2 Corinthians 8, 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not what he does not have. It is not the volume. It is from the heart it is coming from. The Lord said to Moses one day, in Exodus 35 and verse 4, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Bring me an offering. And then in verses 21 to 22, Exodus 35, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garment. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Willingly. Let it be done willingly. If it is not from your heart, it is not a seed. It is acid. If it is not from our heart, it is not a seed. It is what? Glory to God. The poor, you have a privilege of giving to the poor. You know, take, let me rest. It has turned to acid. That's no longer a seed. He says, willingly, let it be done willingly. And finally, number three, take note about seed. Our seed must be sown righteously. If it is not done in righteousness, it is not acceptable. For example, you can't defraud somebody and bring tithe from it. You are reporting yourself to God. You are simply saying, God, I'm a thief. I stole it. This is your own. You are making God an accomplice. I stole this thing. This is your own, so you can cover me. God is saying, what you have brought is what will expose you. You can't be a thief and then bring whatever you bring to God is unacceptable. As a matter of fact, whatever you bring to God will corrupt the other ones. Glory to God. Malachi 3:3-4. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then, after it has been offered in righteousness, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. Glory to God. One time, when I was still living in poverty, an uncle of mine came from Amsterdam. He had been there a long time to study. And then he came from Amsterdam. And I was so glad because I was going to be his driver. And taking him around Lagos, all around everywhere. So I went to the airport with joy to pick him up. It wasn't my car. It was the person I was living with's car. I went, picked him up, and was taking him everywhere he was going. On the day he was leaving, he brought out some money from his pocket. There were dirty 5 naira notes. Very dirty. In fact, he kept the good ones aside and was picking the dirty, dirty ones. I think he took like 3 of them and gave them to me. Because I was living in poverty, I had no choice. Although I was looking at it like, is this how my life is now? 35 naira notes. I took it. But remember, God is not in want. I was in want, so I could accept it. God, if there was somebody that had, if I had 500 naira in my pocket, and you are giving me those ones, 15 naira, I would say, keep your thing, it's okay. It's fine. But I needed it, so I took it. Glory to God. But always, God is not in want. So whatever you are giving to him must be clean. If it is not mint, don't bring it. I'm not talking about physical mint. I'm talking about clean. If it is not clean from heaven, don't bring it. Rise up on your feet with me. Let's give him thanks. Somebody's not excited, though. Glory to God. Let's give him praise and glory tonight. Let's give him all honor and all adoration. Magnify his name. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt your name. We give you thanks and praise. We give you glory and honor. We give you all adoration. Thank you and thank you and thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. If you want to live in financial fortune, let me tell you now very sincerely from the bottom of my heart, go and check Bishop Thomas Aremu's messages and listen to them. Glory to God. His messages on financial fortune changed my life. Go and listen to his messages on financial fortune. But one thing I know is that somebody's financial state will change. Amen. I said somebody's financial level will change in this service. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your season of struggle is finally over. Amen. Your season of financial struggle is finally over. Amen. I said your season of financial struggle is finally over. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. This month, your level financially will change. Amen. It shall be the foundation of the change of level for your family. Amen. Your children and your children's children will partake of it. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so shall it be. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. Well, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody is here tonight and wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to know you as my personal Lord and Savior. Someone else wants to say, Lord, I didn't know you before, but I walked out on you. But now I want to rededicate my life to you. Why not tonight? If you're in any of those two categories, put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you. Let me pray with you very quickly online and on ground. And if you are doing that, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you tonight just as I am. I know I'm a sinner. But I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. Jesus' marvelous name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards, to the praise and to the glory of your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. Amen. You said that prayer in your heart. Wave your hands to Jesus. Let somebody be by your side right now as they are going around to assist you. And you said it online. Please send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now. And somebody will also be attending to you very quickly. Glory to God. Somebody that is blessed already tonight, stretch forth your hands towards the communion table and begin to demand from heaven tonight what you want from it. Jesus, this is my demand tonight. This is my request tonight from this communion table. This is my request from the communion table tonight. This is what I desire from the communion table tonight. Speak to him expressly. Speak to him expressly. This is my desire, my Father and my God. This is my desire from the communion table tonight, even in the precious name of Jesus. This is my desire from the communion table tonight. Father, this is my desire from the communion table tonight. King of glory, this is my desire from the communion table tonight. So shall it be. Let your name only be glorified. Let me return with testimony. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Lift it up to heaven right now, Father. We declare this your flesh and your blood. And we decree and declare that whatsoever was not found in you shall be taken off of us. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, your kind of financial fortune, we enter into it by covenant. In the name of Jesus Christ. What we need to do to enter it permanently, Lord, let us not be afraid to do it. And let your name be exalted. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Let's partake of the communion table as we invite the overcomer's voice.
The blood of Jesus set me free from sin and sorrows. The blood of Jesus set me free. And sorrows,
the blood of Jesus sets me free.
Oh, the blood of Jesus,
the blood of Jesus sets me free.
Oh, from sin and sorrows,
the blood of Jesus sets me free.
Say, the blood of Jesus,
the blood of Jesus sets me free.
From sin and sorrows,
the blood.